Welcome to the Becoming Eva podcast, where we discuss real life issues from a woman's perspective.
Becoming Eva seeks to break the silence within the female community while fostering authenticity, transparency, and healing.
We're your hosts, LaToya Moore
and Maya Dawson.
Let's get started. Happy Saturday.
Hey, BE community. How y'all doing? Y'all can see we got a full house. We got a lot of people in the building and we live. So if you're in the chat, let us know. Let us know too if you can hear us well, because we're trying a new mic setup today. So yeah, we're trying to deal with all the things at the same time, which is a little scary. But yeah, how you doing, Toya?
I'm doing okay. It's always a full week in the Moore household.
Yes.
This week, I think I did a little short video, just kind of bearing myself out there about, you know, struggling a little bit with dealing with my grandmother. We lost her recently, and then we had to travel out of town. And then my son, Mason, he started having seizures 2 weeks ago, around the same day that she passed away, actually, wow, is when he started having seizures. So dealing with that, going to the neurologist, trying to figure out how to help him. So it's been a full week for me.
a lot. Yeah. I don't understand. I'd be looking at her like, why are you, how are you still here? Why are you here doing BE? Because I'm like, clearly I would be off in a corner somewhere, like literally. But thank God for you, Toya. Yes, seriously, thank God for you. I call you Superwoman all the time. All the time, yes. So, but yeah, Dawsonville, we hanging in there. Life is definitely life, and it's been a lot. Definitely adjusting to the new normal and just trying to find some stability. But I feel like God is constantly reminding me, like, I'm the only stability you have. Like, everything around you is going to change. It might be in this very moment, but that's all the more reason for you to cling to me. So that's where I am. I'm like, all right, God, all right. Thank you for the reminder to just lean into you and to cling to you. So, but yeah, I know y'all, we starting off in a deep end, but this is just the season that we are all in, quite honestly. It's a lot going on, like warfare, transition, a lot, grief, a lot. There's a lot going on, but we're like, all the more reason for us to push through, because we know people are looking at us. Non-believers are looking at us, even believers are looking at us to say, okay, how are they handling this? How are they walking through this? Does it mean we get it right? Absolutely not. But it does mean we keep going. We keep putting one foot in front of the other and we keep trusting the Lord. So, all right, but we're going to introduce these amazing men that are here with us today. Today's episode, as y'all know, is called What Men Want. And of course, we can't talk about what men want without some men in the building. So I know y'all might feel a little out of sorts in all the pink, but welcome. Welcome. How are y'all doing today?
Good, man. All is well.
Well, I think it's for the introductions, and at least two of the three we are very closely acquainted with. So I will kick things off by introducing this amazing man to me. This is Chris DJ Jeremiah Dawson. And so thank you for joining us today. Like, creative genius extraordinaire, one third of the amazing Track Stars trio, but also, you know, amazing DJ, musical encyclopedia personality, whatever you want, creative writer, all the things, like literally my partner in life, not just like in marriage, but also professionally. Like, we have a branding and marketing company together. So thank you so much for being here today, babe. I appreciate you.
Thank you all for having me. I think this is like a every 2 year thing that we come on. So yeah, I'm
How
glad to be there. Good to be here. So I'm fine. Everything. So yeah.
And I have the pleasure of introducing the one and only Mr. Ryan Righteous, also known as Ryan Moore of Trackstars. This is my wonderful husband. He's an amazing father. He does all the things at the house. Mr. Fixer-Upper, yes. He's the bug killer, all the things in the Moore household. And I know he be saying, like, you be working me all the time, but I appreciate him so much.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here always.
Yes, we're glad to have you, Ryan. We be calling you too. We be like, I wonder if Ryan know how to fix this. Maybe he can tell us how to.
Yeah. I mean, it's all trial and error. YouTube Ooh, University.
There you go. I love it. Yep. And then last but certainly not least, now I affectionately call him, and me and Chris joke about this all the time. I call him Chris, y'all. If you track stars, I know y'all like, Chris, who's Chris? DJ Jeremiah. Okay, but all that to say, we affectionately call him Ladies Love Plain James. That's what we call him, LL Plain James, because he be dropping, no, seriously, this brother on the real be dropping some serious, serious gems. And I thank the Lord for his heart for God and his genuine willingness to be unwavering when it comes to truth, speaking truth, but also living out truth. And so I know we've talked a little bit behind the scenes where I've been like, okay, we got to get you on the show, and we probably gonna have you come back, like, just so we could like dive in with you. But we wanted to definitely have you from the single man's perspective for this week. But yeah, without further ado, the amazing Plain James.
Man, thank you for the invite, man. I go by the name Plain James. Serve with Track Stars, man, part of the crew. Christian hip hop artist, minister, father, you know, just trying to serve God the best way I can. So, just
glad
to
be here. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning. So, yeah, so we're going to dive on in. I know we have what had happened was in here, because some of y'all may not realize, like, this is the second time we've done What Men Want. And the first time we had our brother, Damo in the building, who's now happily married. He like, look, I ain't got time for y'all. I'm celebrating anniversaries and, you know, living my best life. So, but all that to say, shout out to Damo, who like joined us. I can't believe it was 3 years ago. I was literally like scrolling and trying to see, like, when was the last time we did What Men Want? So shout out to him. It was an amazing conversation. Actually, I think Trackstars kind of picked up the baton and continued the conversation during their episode that week. And so we feel like we are overdue for part two, because a lot has changed in those 3 years as far as how I think men and women perceive each other and engage with one another. But do you have any thoughts or anything you remember that may have stuck out to you from the first time we did What Men Want?
I'm trying to remember back. I just remember it was a very energetic episode, but I can't remember specifically what some of the things they said.
Yeah, it was a lot, and it was a minute. So all that to say, it's a new day, but we still know we need to dive on into this whole how men and women relate piece. So yeah, so without further ado, let's dive on in and talk lovers and friends. You want to kick us off?
Yes, lovers and friends. I know y'all got some different perspectives on this topic, so we want to kick it off first by asking you all, what were you taught about women growing up? Go ahead. They passing the mic to Plain James. Come on. What were you taught?
What were I taught about women growing up? It just depends on who I was talking to. From the guy perspective, I was always taught, it's toxic, it's unhealthy, but I'm going to say it. Just be careful not to share too much emotion or do too much talking around women, because if you show vulnerability, they will use it to their advantage, especially like arguments. They'll, you know what I'm saying? They're going to pick you off.
Pick you off?
Yeah,
well,
they're going to pick
you off. You making it sound like it's lions and we going after the weakest one. We going to pick you off.
I mean, some of us will. I'm not going to lie, but go ahead.
Just more so just not showing a whole lot of emotion. Letting the woman do the majority of the talking and just listening. Because they say you're going to be wrong 90% of the time anyway. So just listen and just nod your head. Keep the peace. There's a lot of unhealthy stuff that I've grown to know. It's just not effective. And then, you know, being around my mother, you know, she would tell me, main thing she would tell me is, just watch how a woman carries herself. Look at how a woman dresses. Look how a woman talks. Mm. Just her reputation, things of that nature, how other people view her, how other people see her, people who know her longer than you. And that kind of give you a good idea who you're dealing with, because mm-hmm. when you meet her off the bat, you're going to meet her representative. Like, she's going to meet mine, yeah. you know. And after a few months go by, you'll really get to see who you're dealing with. But just pay attention to all the surrounding mm-hmm. things so you don't just dive into something head first. If you can, anyway. Sometimes it just means somebody. But if you can, do your research, you know, before you get too involved with somebody.
Toya, why are you staring your husband down? If I was Ryan, I would be melting under the light of the days right now. Like, what's going on?
Why are we not married today? Not with this segment. Because I'm like looking at Ryan like, do you agree with this? Like, come on now. This
let the man be free.
You free. You go free. Ahead. You free. No, let me know what you got to say.
If that's what he was taught, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what he's living. But, you know, go ahead.
Well, my answer is more simple, and that's why James is James, and I like to sit back and listen to him talk first. But I always shoot the mic to him in Track Stars. For me, it was example, man. It was my mother, just watching her example. My dad didn't have much to say about, you know, women, because he wasn't really trying to teach me how to go after women. He was trying to teach me how to go after a wife. And so, amen. You know, he would always just remind me, like, look at your mother as an example. You know, she takes care of the house, and she takes care of you guys. She takes care of me. She's a woman of God, and she's loving, and she's kind, and she's generous, and she makes sure that you have, you know, what you need before she takes care of herself. Mm-hmm. And so those are the things that I was taught, that, you know, you're going to get into a situation where there's going to be a young lady that comes into your life, and she's just going to compliment everything that God already told you about, you know, this thing called marriage. So right. Yeah, that's where it comes from for me. But I mean, you know, if we want to go the James route,
yes, let's hear.
You know, I mean, because we're going with this is BC. We talking BC. We gonna get to after Christ, but go
ahead. Well, I didn't really have a BC though, because I was raised
right. In the church. But you wasn't saved all your life.
I kind of was. I mean,
no, sir.
When I say,
don't have me when I say I was apologetics like, with you.
No, like, I mean, okay, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior when I was 13.
Yeah.
So for me, there was never really I'm going to stray away from the teachings of Christ. Like, it was always church.
She's saying you had moments of the flesh.
Moments of the flesh.
You never had moments or even competing ideas outside of your household. I mean, you went to a public school, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it was private school.
Okay, yeah. You went to the AUC?
I did.
Okay, so did you have any competing ideologies at the time, Ryan, is what
really,
I'm saying.
I really, because I really fine. Didn't want to be.
If you perfect, amen for you. We wish mom didn't be like you.
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine the answer that Sean would give.
No,
you
we're not putting other people under the bus, because your wife was staring at you.
No,
sir.
No, what I'm saying is, like, Sean, I'm the second to the mildest.
How you? Sean is at home resting his leg, and you done bought him into this conversation.
No, because I think we've had these conversations before. Like, for me, it's always been more like just, you know, you're going after one person.
Amen.
You're going
That's
after
good.
One person. So I wasn't really trying to get all these different thoughts in my head about what women would be like and what they wouldn't be like. It was just
No, that's praise God for you, Ryan.
Somebody said in the chat, can y'all call in a friend? Edward Jr. We calling you in. What you got to say, Edward? Put it in the chat.
Go ahead and answer, babe, while he and please I know you love to have it up on you, but thank you, sir.
I think for me, just I kind of like what Ryan said about examples. I'm trying to think of things. I mean, I was raised with a single mom and a sister in the house, and then I had sisters around me and then different things of that nature. So just their examples on, like, okay, that's what you want in a wife. That's not what you want in a wife. Like, just based off their living examples of different things or different things are like that. I know my dad, one time my father was like, I was like, I'm gonna get married. I'm gonna be with that woman for the rest of my life. He looked at me and was like, no, you won't. I was like, oh, snap. Why you say that? He's like, you just watching it. Wait and see. And I was like, nah, that's not going to be my story. So I think that's just the thing of, you know, growing up, seeing different things. And then, of course, society, of course, I mean, at that time, we listening to all types of hip hop music and you guys telling me players and all this other stuff and what you're seeing on television or whatever. So I just think that worldview kind of like kind of shaped me. But then also, I think for me is to see my mom go through bad situation, bad relationships. And was like, in my mind, I was like, I don't want to put a woman through that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I think for me, that's just my worldview. And then some stuff that you heard that you like, you know what I mean? As you grow up and become an adult and become more Christ conscious, you like, and more like kingdom minded, you like, man, yeah, I can't do that to people. You know, I can't do that to her or, you know, different things of that nature. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. So that was BC. Okay. Except for Ryan. That was AC for Ryan. Okay. But so that was BC. But how did things change, I would say, or how were you challenged in how you perceived women after like really coming to know the Lord and like living out this or trying to live out your walk with Christ?
I think the thing for me was I feel bad for James a little bit because I'm like, dating now must be crazy. I mean, I think at the time, like when we were like really officially dating or looking for a wife, it was a little bit different. And then I think women back then, I'm talking about maybe the 2000s, early 2010s, weren't their mindsets was some women still wanted to be wives. So pursuing women and saying like, I want to go to get married was probably something that was like, yeah, let's try to do that. I think for me, I think that like, it took me a while because I know I had to get out of my shell of really approaching my wife and really approaching it. And then just because of rejection, honestly, as a man, it's like, I don't want to go through somebody saying no to me. You know what I mean? So I think for me, just that idea of like approaching a woman, talking to a woman, and then also seeing God's daughter, like looking at God's daughter. And I'm not trying to say the right answer, but it's just like you had to come to that realization because, like you said, if you're letting society form your ideology, then it's going to be bad. Like, you know, I know at times in my past, at times some stuff was seeping in of how I treated a woman or how I thought of women because I was watching something I shouldn't have been watching or I'm listening to something that really wasn't good for me. So I think that as I grew and honestly getting around quality marriages kind of helped me, especially when I was serving at my local church back in the day with youth ministry. We have like different couples helping out and you start seeing like, oh, this could happen because I'm around it and seeing it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Let's hear what James got to say.
So yo, real talk. I'm so curious. Toya looking at Ryan like, yo, you can hang out with James.
Not too late. I'm still navigating this terrain a little bit, just trying to like from the from before Christ to now. In some aspects, I kind of had a phase like even before Christ, like similar to you. I see my mom go through certain stuff, and I was like, I don't want to make a woman feel that way. Mm-hmm. So I tried to be the nice guy. But when I was the nice guy, I got played like a squirrel. You know what I'm saying? but then I was like, when I started moving different, it was like, why do you women want to come after you so much when you really just a dog for real?
Yeah.
So it had me conflicted. It's like, I don't want to be this person, but you know, at the same time, I'm not trying to get the short end of the stick. So I was conflicted in that aspect. But then now I'm still kind of navigating some terrain because, you know, having a daughter, mm-hmm. Coming out of a failed situation, like it gives you a different perspective on how to approach stuff. So women, when I meet them now, they want you to apply a certain amount of pressure coming out in the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I got to see if it worth me applying pressure first.
Yeah. You know, so, thinking long game.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's just the way I approach it now. I'm really still trying to figure it out. I've had a couple situations where I dated people and they were like, man, I don't know if you really like me or not. And I'm like, I don't know either. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're trying to figure out. But they kind of want me to come. But I was explaining, that's how you get love bombed. That's how you get tricked. Yeah. That's how you get manipulated. I'm still kind of navigating it because I believe it was some aspects of what I believed in previously that was beneficial. But being a follower of Christ now and trying to, you know, respect women, having a little girl who, you know, that changes everything too. You know what I'm saying? Like the way I see things now, I ain't trying to be green, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But at the same time, you know. Yeah. I'd be grieving at the same time. It's like you out here with some sharks, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. You gotta really just play it how it go.
I just wanna ask.
I was gonna say go ahead. You probably in the same vein.
How were they playing you like a little squirrel? Like, can you elaborate a little bit? I was trying to figure out what you mean by that.
I know what he mean, but go ahead.
What does that mean?
I want to hear what he say first.
It's still same thing. It's like you meet people that know. You look at my page and see what I'm about. You see I do ministry. I'm in church. So people have a certain perception of guys mm-hmm. who go to church. They feel like you a square off the bat, or they feel like you kind of like the nice guy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, even one person, they were like, oh, you don't give a Bible. Like, I mean, it's like, what you thought I was going to do, come to the date with a Bible and start quoting scriptures and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a regular guy, too, you know? Yeah. So, it's like, they kind of try you to a certain degree as if you just, like, green, you know? But then, I'm not trying to go so far to prove that I'm up on game and I know what's going on, that I'm outside of my godly character.
Yeah.
So, now it's kind of hard to navigate because you have one perception of me. Mm-hmm. I know who I am, but I'm not trying to go way over here to prove to you that I'm something else. You feel what I'm saying? So, it's difficult, you know, just trying to find somebody who get it, you know.
I ain't gonna lie, I know exactly who he talking about, because at one point I was that girl. If I'm honest, like, I was like, oh, okay, you say you love the Lord, okay, let me see if I can run you, let me see if you weak, let me see if or tell me what you not gonna do, tell me what you not gonna do, so I can see if I can push you to do it. Okay. Like, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot.
You see how I look at you.
No, both of you two. You look at me too. Like, deer in headlights.
She wants you to explain, babe.
Because the reality of it is there are some women who don't know how to treat a good man, number one. And number two, like, because a lot of women are trained like, okay, we want the bad boy because we think that's the only type of man that can protect us. That's the only type of man that can provide for us, because there's still a secular mentality attached to how you define protection. I think a prime example is we were watching this movie about this couple, and the woman got approached by a guy and she felt like her husband didn't stand up for her. And I looked at my husband, like, well, what you gonna do in a situation like that? Cause I'm like really trying to be like, okay, you rough, you tough, whatever. Like, and he's like, well, first of all, I'm gonna do my best to keep you out of situations like that. Like, so that it doesn't even escalate to that point. And it took a minute for me to even like think about that. Because it's like, okay, a real man who's trying to protect you is not going to be like, let's go walk down this dark alley so I could jump in front of a bullet if somebody tries to mug us. No. A real man is going to be like, okay, what time is it? What part of town are we on? What's a good idea? What's not a good idea? What's wise? What's not wise? Mm-hmm. And you, if you're really, really trying to be protected, need to decide, okay, do I want to submit to something like that? Or do I just want to stay on the edge and see what he going to do? Like, seriously. So that, for me, is a prime example.
Yeah, that's very accurate. Like, for real, it's very accurate. Like, women will try you like that. Like, oh, you don't do this? Oh, let's see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, they'll try you like that. Or, like I said, they'll try you like you're just a sucker for real. Like, I'm cut from a different cloth. So, like, I'm not really like, my background is different, you know? Yeah. So, but I'm not trying to go out of my way to prove nothing about it. I'm a changed person. Like, I'm a new creature in Christ. But they try to push them buttons, you know what I'm saying, to really see how far they can go. I'm like, you don't want to do that, you know?
Yeah. Because you're still human. Yeah. You're still human. But I think it just takes a renewed mind for men and women if you're really trying to do it the right way. Right. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So,
now, Mr. Moore, I know you've been saved
your whole life
since you were 13. I cannot say the same, but I know you've been saved. How did your perception of women change when you had daughters? Maybe you could go from that angle.
Well, let me go back further, because there is some more insight to that. Yeah, there is some more insight to give. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're pure.
Amen.
Right.
That's
and
what
so,
I was trying.
Okay. It was ahead. My.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
And so it was my father that introduced me to pornography.
Oh wow.
And he told me there was nothing wrong with it.
Oh wow.
He actually used it as a tool to kind of remind me of how straight I was.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like he wanted to use that to, you know, my dad was a very macho man.
Yeah.
And there's a real thing with generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather was abusive to women and he was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
My grandmother was an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. My uncles were alcoholics. My dad did not drink alcoholic beer. He drank non-alcoholic beer.
Okay.
I don't drink beer.
Yeah.
I don't even drink non-alcoholic
beer. Yeah.
And so there was this perception that in order to change, you have to break off generational curses.
Mm.
So when my father kind of raised me in that route and I started looking like, well, you know, you cheated on my mom and you're separated now. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to go this route. So I'm not going to take what you're saying. And I remember challenging my dad one day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he challenged me on being a virgin until I got married. He's like, yeah. You really want to do that? And I was just like, I do.
Mm.
And he was like, good. Let the Lord raise you, not me.
Wow.
Because my father was a minister of the gospel when he passed away.
Uh-huh.
When I was 17 years old, he rededicated his life to Christ, mm-hmm. got serious about his walk and started preaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we had the conversation, I was already in my 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just proud to know that I wasn't letting his influence me more so mm-hmm. than the word of God.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that definitely changed my perception when I realized that what my dad was teaching me was wrong.
But that's what you touched on. And thank you for sharing it,
yeah.
Ryan. What you mm-hmm. touched on is so key because, and I think we were talking about this a couple of days ago. It's like men are taught to like lose their virginity almost like as a sign of like manhood, like
yeah.
masculinity. Yeah. Women now, if we lose our virginity, we, you know,
scarlet letter.
You know what I'm saying? We that girl over there, you know. Yeah. So like literally
she fast.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't she loose. A hussy. Don't get me started, but go ahead. But yeah, so for you to take that stance, what made you take that stance early on?
Yeah. It was the word of God.
Amen.
It was the word of God. It was accountability partners like my best friend, Wesley.
Mm.
Pastor Wesley was just like, yeah, you know that we were on a retreat and we were just having a conversation. He was like, yeah, you know, we have to be pure in our walks, too. And I was like, okay, let's talk about what that looks like.
Yeah.
And when we had a conversation about it, unpacked it and was like, yeah, that's definitely not what I understood the definition of purity to be. And that's how we changed our perspectives. We changed together. You know, everybody around us was having sex and we were each other's accountability partners. Like, we're not going to do this.
Amen.
We're not going to do this. You know,
amen.
So he made it to his wedding day that way. And I did mine as well.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You're like, both of y'all. I love it. All right. Shall we talk the famous question? Can men and women be friends platonically? What are y'all's thoughts on that?
Yay, nay. The reason I say yay, nay is because I feel like I think you could be friends, but if you cross that line, then your friendship is over. Like, and the reason I say that is because once you cross that line, like, you could be friends with somebody and y'all could be, you know, I don't know about going over each other's houses or whatever, but like friends where y'all see each other at church, mm-hmm. see yourself, and y'all friends. Once you start having romantic feelings and y'all like, let's see where this goes,
mm-hmm.
and like it don't work out, then now you're gonna feel some type of way. Your friendship won't never be the same because you're like, I like that person or that person like me and vice versa. So I think as long as it don't get romantically involved, I think you're good. But I think once that line get crossed to mm-hmm. whoever crossed it, the man or the woman, to say, hey, I'm feeling you. And even if that don't try, even if it don't go to a relationship, I think it could still be a problem because if you saying I'm feeling you and you not mm-hmm. feeling me, and then you start dating somebody, I may feel some type of way.
Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So I think long as it stay at the root of friendship, yay.
Mm-hmm.
But when it crosses that, when somebody catches feelings, man or woman, then that's when that's going to turn a different way.
I have a different perspective.
Go ahead.
I have never been friends with a woman that I hadn't kissed at some point because attraction is attraction.
Yeah, yeah.
I could have the ugliest friend, and if we get caught in the wrong moment, emotions, a vulnerability. Nah.
Yeah.
It's never happened for me. I never thought a man and woman could ever be.
And I had to cut them all off. When we started.
Wow.
You know.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, no, she not your friend. If we trying to get married,
yeah.
Bye bye.
You do have a lot of friends that kind of buzz around. I remember that specifically when we decided we were dating, like, oh, this is, you know, I was like, oh, she's hanging back a little long. Well, let me hang back even longer because
I'm here.
Yeah. Hello. But go ahead, play.
I think you can, man. I got a real good female friend now. So initially when I met her, I tried to talk to her and we were talking a little bit, but then as the time went on, I realized she had a lot going on. Mm. And she was in a real low spot, it came out. And so, you know, just encouraging her, just talking to her, whatnot. She really had a situation going on at our church, and she kind of felt abandoned mm-hmm. by our church. Yeah. And she was in a low spot. So immediately my mindset went from, okay, potentially trying to talk to this woman to actually just being there to help her.
Yeah.
And really it was just one of the lowest points of our life. I was able to be one of those people, not the mm-hmm. only person. I don't feel like that's why.
Yeah.
Just one of those people that kind of would advise her, encourage her, pray with her and stuff.
Yeah.
And to this day, like now she'll date guys or I go on dates or whatever. We talk to each other like it's completely platonic. You know, mm-hmm. so obviously you're attracted to the person, they're attracted to you, but it's like we know it's unrealistic, you know. So it's mm-hmm. like we're actually pretty cool, you know.
Do you think it's always gonna be unrealistic claim? Because mm-hmm. I'm like, for real?
Yeah,
why?
For one, I'm over the whole long distance thing. They stay, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they stay somewhere else.
Okay, got it.
Yeah.
Which actually is a safeguard, probably.
Yeah, it's plus in the mindset of that. It keep you out of the mm-hmm. you out of like lust and sex and all that kind of stuff that you fall with. But then you gotta look at it like that. Well, you do finally see somebody. Mm-hmm. It depends if you got that pent up. You know what I'm saying? You know, it could be worse. You know what I'm saying? And then you know, then sometimes you might just want to go to the movies. You might just want to go to Waffle House. You might just want to do some around the corner. Now I gotta fly to come see you. It's like I gotta spend, you know, hundreds of dollars just to come. That get old real fast. You
it's know, a so. Lot. It's a lot. Well, I will say this. I mean, because we always talk about how we were friends for years before we started dating. We wouldn't know each other's houses, though, like kicking it. Like, we're going to the movies, like, we're doing that. Like, I am a firm believer in, like, having friend groups because it helps you. For me, I went to I was sheltered growing up. Didn't really date a lot until I got to college. And even in college, I, like, vowed like I kissed dating goodbye, all that good stuff, and then really, really took my relationship with God to another level and was at an all-girls school. So by the time I graduated from college, I was like, ooh, I don't necessarily know if I know how to relate with the opposite sex. Like, I either am like, don't look at me, don't talk to me, or oh my God, are you my husband? What our kids are gonna look like, how your name sound with my name, all that. So all that to say, friend groups for me was a very healthy way for me to learn how to engage with the opposite sex and without going from 0 to 100. And like, you can really like let your guard down, get to know people, talk to people, and not feel pressure, if you will. And then there's a natural safeguard there too, where if it is someone that you're attracted to, you're not necessarily putting yourself in a position where you could potentially compromise. So I know we had a very tight-knit friend group. And so that was how we engaged each other a lot. Now we might talk one-on-one, like around church or something, but it wasn't like, oh, we hanging out, we doing this, we doing that. So all that to say, I think you can be friends with the opposite sex, but I think it's important to have safeguards and boundaries. Yeah. So yeah. Toya, you have anything? Or
I would say no for me, because when I did have male friends, it never mm-hmm. failed. Over time, you know, they would let their intentions be known.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't see you like that. Like,
yeah.
So, no, I would say no.
Yeah.
I think we could be associates, like,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
Sean, Chris, yeah, you know,
but
hanging
that's
out
in a group, yeah,
in a group thing. Yeah. But I'm not.
You know their wives too,
right? Well, I don't know their wives.
Those
too.
Are married people, but I'm like in a group setting. Could you be friends with single people? You know what I'm saying?
In a group setting.
Yeah.
So the challenge that I was going to ask is like, the reason I say no mm-hmm. is because once you get married, you still can't have friends like that.
I will say once you're married.
Did you continue that friendship while you were married?
But once you're friends, if they the opposite sex, they my friend too. They need to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, they need to pass the test. So, like, if you got a single friend that you're trying to bring into our marriage, I either already know them or we need to get tight real quick, because mm-hmm. it's not going to happen. But that's my take.
That's your question. Like, when I was, like, she had male friends, I had female friends. We all knew each other. Like, Yeah. I wasn't like buddy buddy with him. I wasn't like, hey, let's go kick it. But I knew him, you know what I'm saying?
Did they bring him? Did she bring, or did you both bring like friends of the opposite sex into the marriage? Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it was already an understanding.
Got it.
And it's kind of like, if I was interested in them, you know what I'm saying? Why are we at this point? You mm-hmm. know, I would have talked to them.
True.
Why we getting married, if I was mm-hmm. interested in them, I known them this whole time. So
yeah.
It was a security in that. Like, obviously, you know, you ain't feeling no type of way about it if you just bypass them to go be with somebody else.
I get it, but at the same time, there should still be a certain line once you're married where it's yeah. like, this is my friend, but we not, I can't talk to you as much or be as open with Absolutely. You as I was prior to, because then it becomes an open door for a stronghold potentially where, you know, all it take is, okay, me and my wife, she getting on my nerves today. Let me go talk to my friend. Cause she listen to me. She know me. She understand me.
See, a real friend, I feel like, is somebody who wise enough to know that. So like my female friends, when I'm in a relationship or whatever, mm-hmm. they automatically fall back because they don't want it to be misconstrued to be anything more than that. I'm the same yeah. way. Like, I don't feel this. If you hanging out with, like, she yeah. got a boy, the friend I was telling you about, she got a boyfriend now.
Yeah.
And they hang out. I don't feel a certain kind of way. Like, oh man, she don't talk to me. She with a boyfriend. I'm like, hey, I hope it work out for you. Yeah. Like, I know you desire to be married. Like, I hope yeah. that works, you know? So if you're a real friend, a friend wants somebody's best interest,
mm-hmm,
you know, mm-hmm. like you're not thinking about your own selfish desires. So if I'm mad because you can't talk to me because you're with somebody, then we got to reevaluate what's really going on. Am I in denial about my feelings for you?
Ooh.
You know, saying neither wow. one of us are not. So it's just like, hey, it's a respect there off the bat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, y'all done kind of took us on into love and marriage. What you think, Toya?
Yes. Love and marriage. All right. So in this next segment, love and marriage. What do you think are some important characteristics for a wife to have?
For me, man, I think just being transparent, being in a situation where me and my ex, we super cool now. We co-parent. Like, it ain't no beef or nothing. I don't have no baby mama drama.
Amen.
Just looking at that situation, I feel like it's easy to look at what somebody else did and say, oh man, I don't want this, I don't want that. But I'm one of the people, I'm always introspective, because in every failed situation you win, it's a common denominator is you, you know? So
well,
you got to look at yourself and realize how you contributed true. To the failure as well. So I don't want to look for nothing in somebody else that I won't require of myself. So for me, what I would look for first and foremost, obviously a relationship with God, like a solid relationship mm-hmm. with God, not just I'm gonna go to church because you go to church. Like, a solid relationship with God. Somebody who love you for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's some people who love the idea of you.
Yeah.
Or like, they love, if you have a certain level of status or yeah. respect, it looks good for them to be with you, they'll be with you. But somebody who really love you, like who mm-hmm. in it for the long haul, somebody who respects you, mm-hmm. like respects your relationship with God, respect what you have to say. That don't mean they got to kiss your behind and do everything mm-hmm. you tell them to do, but it's a level of respect there. Loyalty, you know. If you don't want me to be out here talking to female friends, if you don't want me doing these different things or whatever, like, you require that kind of loyalty. I want the same thing in return. I want to know you got my back. And then I guess honesty is one of the main things. Like, if we together, if we doing this for life, like, if I can't get honesty nowhere else, I got to get it from you. We live together. Wow. We're here every day. If you can't be honest yeah. with me, like, we got a problem. You know what I'm saying? Good. So I think good. That's it for me. Just relationship with God, real love, loyalty, respect, honesty. I think one last thing, I think every man wanted just understanding. I think a lot of times we'll say things and a woman will be in a certain emotional state and they'll frame what you say in a certain way based off how they're feeling in that moment, right, wrong, or indifferent. I wish, like, you can know me well enough to understand, like, what I'm saying is what I'm saying. Don't try to repackage it and make it be something that it's not. What I'm saying is what I'm saying.
We will, like, repackage it.
Right. You will repackage it, right, reframe now. It, and make it be something that is not.
And we in a, really mean.
Yeah. In a real situation, if I'm coming to you like it's a pressing matter we're really talking about, or what I'm saying is what I'm saying. You don't have to redraw or retrace. Like, it is what it is. So just understanding is key for me as well.
It's good. Really good.
And I like kids. I got a little girl.
Yeah, that's good. I would agree with what James said. You know, I guess the question is a little bit like been out of my mind for almost 14 years now. What important characteristics do you look for in a wife? Because I found them. Yeah, I'd say for singles out there that are listening, look for someone that accepts you for who you are. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everything about you. The one thing I think is really, ties people up is upbringing. Know a person's upbringing, know what they think about their upbringing, mm-hmm. how they've evaluated it, and what it means to them as far as, you know, what's right and what's wrong, mm-hmm. you know, being able to cut things off that were unhealthy.
Yeah.
Not bringing that into your marriage, like knowing how to say, oh, that's too much, or mm-hmm. that's not the way I want to do things. That was how I was with my dad.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to look at my dad and I'm going to take everything that I thought mm-hmm. that he even told me he failed at. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make sure I don't fail at those things.
So that's just good.
Recognizing, you know, what's if that person can recognize toxicity mm-hmm. in how they were brought up or what surrounds them now.
Yeah.
Because right? I know there was one young lady I dealt with where her mother was toxic. Mm. And I was like, you don't see a problem with this? Like, you don't see,
that's all she knew probably.
Like, it was the very first day she took me out and it was a barbecue. And she was like, my mom wants to meet you. And I was like, all right, cool. What are your intentions with my daughter? Because this is da-da-da-da-da. You know, and her mom was in a female-to-female relationship.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, I'm not.
Yeah,
my mother-in-law can't be in that situation. No, this is not going to work. Yeah, deuces, right there.
Wow.
So, you know, just know that you can't compromise for mm-hmm. Someone else's sin just because you love that person.
Yeah,
that's number one.
That's good. And then you also touched on the need to do the work before you even start dating or enter marriage, because a lot of the trauma that we deal with as adults started in our childhood. So if we're trying to be whole and healthy in a relationship, then we need to start on that before we even, you know, start thinking about marriage. So, but go ahead, babe. I'm sorry.
I think I don't want to beat the horses because they gave great answers already. I think that the number one thing, not number one thing, but one of the things I think for a man looking for a good characteristic is submission. I think that's one of the things. It's like, are you willing to submit to a man that's submitted to God, not submitted to a man who is just out there mm-hmm. saying that you better obey me kind of vibe. But just like, if you see that man is submitted to God, that he has a walk with God, that he is doing his best, trying his best to serve the Lord and everything, and you in your hearts, and you got good wisdom around, good quality wives, other wives around you and stuff, talking about it and saying like, yeah, he's a man after God's heart and stuff like that. Are you willing to submit to him? And the reason I said submission, and I know that's kind of like an evil word for some women, but it's just one of those things, is if you're submitted to him and he's submitted to God, then that leadership could be easy for you to follow. And it would be good protection and good provision. And provision may not always be financial, but provision could be pouring into you when you are down, talking to you, encouraging you, speaking life into you, praying over you, and different things of that nature. But if you don't value submission, or you like, I can never submit to a man, then I don't know how you could be an effective wife. And the reason I said those as a characteristic, because for men, it's like, don't use submission as a weapon for women to like try to follow, for women to try to be with you, for a woman to be with you. So I would say that. But then I think everything they said was really good, like trustworthy, honest, speaking, you know, mm-hmm. talking to, good conversation, different things of that nature. But I think the thing is like just being ready for those roles as a wife or as a husband as well. But for the characteristics of a wife, I feel like kind of stuff we're playing with, saying honesty, truth, you know, encouraging and speaking, you know, different things of that nature. And then also like, you know, just submission. And also like you said, like Ryan said, looking at family too, because that's another things like, does she form her mother's opinions? Does she form her aunt's opinions? Does she form her grandmother's opinion, her cousin's opinion, you know, her sister's opinions, you know, versus her own opinion about what the word says a wife should be, you know what I mean? So, yeah.
Wow. Good stuff, y'all. Good stuff. All right. So all three of y'all have been married at some point or another, if you're not currently. So how did life change for you after marriage? And it could be good, bad, and different. Seriously.
I think marriage changed me because now I realized that like you are responsible for somebody else. You know what I mean? That, I know that that hit me kind of like when we first got married, like you're responsible for that person. Like you're responsible. Like you can't just go out and do what you want to do. I'm like, hey, I'll be back. Like, nah, you got to be like, yo, I'm coming back this time. I should be back here. And it's not like rules or regulations, but it's just like out of respect and out of concern for she may be out and concern and stuff like that. So stuff like that really made me like, man, you know, and then, you know, for us, I was about to think of this, for us, we're concerned. Our wives, when they go out, they don't care. They come in.
What?
Hey, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Well, we'd be like having we
be out with each other and we'd be like, all right, man, we gotta go. Them, I gotta call my wife at 12. Like, you coming home? You gonna think about coming home or something like that? They be having a good time though. I'm like, the wives, track stars wives, they get it in. Just the responsibility as a man, like, you know what I mean? I think men that want to be married should talk to husbands, like legit husbands, really, because I'm like that bachelor life to husband is a good transition, but it could be a tough one too if you're so used to having everything your way and trying to do things your way. So I think that's the thing of like responsibility. Like your responsibility as a man in general, as a single man, is there. It could be at 100 already, but it's gonna jump up to another 100 because now you're responsible, not just for you and your household, it's for your family now, because your wife and you have children. Your responsibility level goes up, you know. And it could be tough, honestly, at times, trying to figure it out, you know what I mean, and try to deal with it. But you know that responsibility is legit.
Yeah. So, what changed after marriage? 29 years of singleness changed.
Oh, I was like, y'all have been married 29 years, but you okay?
Yeah, I was single for 29 years. I was single for 29 years. And so, you know, when I was a bachelor, washing dishes had its own day. That was a Friday. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't washing dishes on a Monday or a Wednesday. Nah, yeah. I mean, when we first started dating, she would be like, are you gonna wash those dishes? And I was like, after the movie's over, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, stuff like that. So it wasn't something I had to do. But now it's like, we got to go to bed with the house cleaned up. We got to clean up behind kids. Let me not go that far in. Let's just go back to marriage, right? dying to self. You know, sharing space with somebody.
Yeah.
It was funny because when we decided that she was going to move into my house, it was all the stuff that I owned that we had to get rid of. It was like, well, that couch doesn't have a place. And this is that, you know, she changed one of my bedrooms to bright pink. It was the same color as this. We got pictures on Facebook.
Color, y'all. Yeah. Pink,
we got pictures on Facebook. Same color as this in the room.
In my defense. It was a closet. We had to make it into a closet because the room that had the closet was about this size.
Still, but who has a pink closet?
I mean, you said I could do whatever I want. So I was
backstory,
like, okay, cool.
I love it.
Backstory, when we were dating, when we were engaged, I moved back home with my mom.
Yeah.
And she moved into my house because she was renting at the time. So we were like, well, let's conserve money for the wedding. So I continue to pay the mortgage and she lived in the house and I went back to my mom's house.
Amen.
And when I said, she was like, I want to make this feel more like a woman's place, bruh.
I'll say for real, we've been standing that mud together.
Engaged.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, we coming back to that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so yeah. Well, I had two parents that weren't going for that. She had two parents. She had four parents that weren't going for that. That was the thing, is like I had to change up, you know, my habits. That was number one.
Wow. Go ahead, Mr. Shacken.
See, I probably what about it all wrong?
No, you good. Go ahead.
I said for me, I think to my situation, like I think my situation failed because we got into it prematurely. We really didn't do the necessary personal work. That's why we can look at it now and look back like, We were not for each other, but we can look back and kind of laugh at some stuff. Like, yeah.
Was there like a dating period or, or how long did y'all date before you got married?
I known her for a long time. Okay. We dated one time for like 2 years. It didn't work.
Got
dated other people. Then we tried it again. That led to the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we should have known when it didn't work the first time.
Got it.
But I think now, in hindsight, one thing I'm working on now is vulnerability, man. Like I was telling you before, like I was taught, like you gotta be like stone. You know what I'm saying? You can't be showing no sign of the weakness of it. That's in any aspect, whether you're in the street, you're dealing with a woman or whatever, you can't really show emotion or vulnerability because that'll get you killed, hurt, all that type of stuff. So I had a situation happen where I met a young lady, and with my mentality the way it was, she really liked me, you know, but I'm still trying to fill her out. And the way I was moving made her feel kind of rejected a little bit. So, you know what I'm saying? Situation kind of fizzled out a little bit. Then when it started fizzling out, I was like, man, I actually like this girl. So I said, I'm going to have to go ahead and go outside my comfort zone. But by the time I did it, it was too late. You know what I'm saying? So
she had moved on.
Yeah. So it was a lesson learned. That's what I was saying, like learning that line between like applying pressure and not going too far.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I think my whole adult life up until now, I've had to have a certain kind of mentality. Like even to come outside in my neighborhood, you had to have a certain kind of demeanor just to function.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna get tried. Yeah. You know, so it make you hard, you know what I'm saying? So I realized like if you're gonna have a woman, like you can't be like that.
Yeah.
She got to know you really care for real. And I do stuff here and there. I was, you know, so I could talk and manipulate the situation a little bit, you know. But now, like, for a real situation at our age, it's like women ain't playing. They want to know, like, how you really feel. Like, yeah. So,
you know, we don't got time.
Yeah.
We got biological clocks and everything. Like, come on.
Yep. So,
if you like me, like, what do you see our future? Like,
yeah. Right.
If so, not, we got to move on. Next.
That's it. So that situation not working out, it was like, dang, it's messed up. You know what I'm saying? So I could have walked away with it two ways. Like, when I finally try to do it, this will happen. You know what I'm saying? Or I could be like, dang, now I see moving forward how I got to move because this woman felt like I ain't like her for real when I actually did. You
know? Yeah.
So I had to grow up in that area.
Now, I would be remiss if we didn't have you here and talk a little bit about, like, recovering from divorce. Mm-hmm. Because that's a real thing for Christians, in case you ain't know, it's a real thing, you know, circumstances, dynamics, all of that. And so can you talk a little bit about just like your recovery and healing process, which it may still be ongoing, you know, like post-divorce? Yeah.
So I think initially, just being a minister for one, it just, you feel a little bit of shame at first. It's like, man, I'm out here preaching the gospel, sharing the word, and I'm in this failed situation. Having my daughter in the midst of that, it's like, man, I wanted her to have an opportunity to know what it felt like to be in a solid household. So it's disappointment at first. It's like, dang. But then when you start unpacking it, like I said, doing the work with yourself, looking at the situation from a different perspective, and once you take the emotion out of it and you see it for what it was, you say, okay, like God can redeem any situation and grow in the situation. So it's now it's like, okay, just because you failed in this area, this was a moment of failure. It's not who you are. You're not a failure altogether.
Yeah.
So the thing to do now is to learn from it and now move forward. Take the things you learn from it and know what not to do and what you need to do next time. So that was like 4 or 5 years ago. So I kind of been taking my time. I've been going on dates here and there, but I haven't really necessarily just rushed into anything. Having a child, processing thoughts, going through counseling for all sorts of trauma I had in my life. I was really dysfunctional. Just the environment I was in, it just had me just tainted in a lot of areas. So just dealing with that, wanting to be the best version of myself. So next time I do get in this situation, I'm able to be who I need to be as opposed to having all this, you know what I'm saying, trauma and nonsense going on. So it really just make you want to get healthy and do the right thing. So right now I feel like I'm probably in the best headspace I've been in quite some time. Still working on some stuff, and I think I always will be, but I think I'm finally in a spot where I can realistically see myself like moving towards something for it.
Can I just say counseling is huge? First of all, counseling is huge for Christians, let alone Christian men, let alone Christian black men. Okay, so can you talk a little bit about what led to that? Was it the divorce or was it other things?
Man, so my pastor, the church I was going to, the pastor that he submitted to is actually a licensed counselor as well.
Amen.
And so he knows us. So he's able to give me a clinical perspective, but he's also able to give me a spiritual perspective.
Amen.
So I really confided in him on a lot of different things. It kind of gave me that comfort level because growing up in a black community, you go to a counselor, oh, you must be crazy, something going on with you. And then men, we don't really talk like that. So like, I'm going to pay somebody to talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we're doing. So
I got Jesus.
It was so many reasons why that was just frowned upon. You know what I'm saying? Where I was at, but you gotta just learn, man. Anything you're trying to do in life, you want to be successful, man, it's gonna take some help, you know. So it takes a level of humility to say, you know what, I got some problems that I don't have the answers to. I need to talk to somebody who can really help me for real. That's really what this last season of life has been about for me, just humbling. It's like life is just humbling you. Like, you get to a point in life where you face situations that you don't have an answer for.
Yeah.
And of course you're going to go to the Lord, but the Lord also brings certain people in your life. And we look for God to work a certain kind of way, but a lot of times he'll send people in different situations to give you that desired outcome that you might not expect, you know. Even with trash talk, I tell them, for me, this is like, I come up here and I run my mouth every week, but for me, just the fellowship and being around like-minded people who are like, and I'm looking at like what y'all have and stuff, like, it's encouraging for me. So just being in these kind of settings and stuff like this has been really helpful for me.
Well, we'll be praying for you, Plain Dreams, for sure. On your journey.
Yeah.
So glad that you're taking steps to fully heal for the next season of your life.
Got to.
Absolutely. Well, y'all, this has been an absolute pleasure. We got one more question and we're going to let y'all go. So what advice would you give to men of God that either are husbands or desire to be husbands?
Mine is so easy. Stay off the internet.
Oh, wow.
Stay off the internet. Stay off these YouTube channels. Stay off of these reality TV shows. I mean, all of that stuff is so toxic. You know, marriage at first sight. Pop the balloon. Like, you're going to hear some things where you're like, if this is what the dating world is like, I'm terrified. So, I mean, you know, and it's funny because me and my wife, we sit back and we watch Pop the Balloon. And we listen to some of the things that they say.
We be like, oh, Lord.
You're going to stay single if that's how you really see it.
Yeah.
If that's what you think about life,
yeah,
that's what you're going to stay single. You know, popping the balloon just because dude's shoes don't look right. Like, it's not the right color for me. Oh, I don't like the dress color you have on. Like, people change clothes. So it's just dumb stuff like that, man. I'm just so glad that, you know, you can test the spirit by the spirit when you're a Christian. Otherwise, you out there in the world, you're going to be in trouble. So stay off the internet for your dating advice. Stay off the YouTube channels. And, you know, one of the things I think we've talked about on Track Stars before is that a lot of the channels that people go to for advice are people that are single.
Yeah.
You know, and then we had this one situation not too long ago where this gay dude was giving women advice.
Yeah.
And Christian women were soaking it up. And it was like, he's talking about getting your man from you. What are you talking about? This is craziness.
He's showing you how to get the man that he wants.
So stay off this stuff.
I would say this for any man out there that want to get married or it's like or it is a husband, be around godly men. And yeah, like watch out for the men. I would say this, there's two forms of men that got the title and then the ones that are really applying it. You want to be around the ones that are applying it.
Amen.
Because the ones that have the title will show themselves eventually. They'll show themselves like, hey man, let's go out. You go out and he's like, oh, we about to go to Magic City. He's like, nah, bro, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? And I'm just telling you, you want to find the men who just are applying it to their lives. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want real men of God out there. So I would say get the wisdom and different things of that nature. Like, really have wisdom to follow, have men around you that can help you get to the point where you need to go. And then also can help you be like, nah, bro, I don't think she is, bro. I don't think she ready for you. Or nah, I mean, yeah, she good, bro. Like, what is she about? Da, 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 you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So I would say get around quality men of God who are really doing this. You know what I mean? You want the example, be around people that you can see give you that example that you really deep down desire. And then for the ones who are like, you know, like Ryan said, don't get your cues from the internet, you know. Don't get your cues for what a high value man. That stuff is trash.
Yeah.
Get your views on the word, you know what I mean? Like, do a deep dive in the word about how to be a man of God, how to be a man, how to be a husband, the wisdom of God is there to show you how to be a husband and how to love your wife and how to do different things as a husband. You know what I mean? So getting that word, get quality men around you. And then I would say that also, and just be honest too.
Yeah.
Be honest around them, because sometimes you may want to speak your mind and say how you feel about certain things and different things of that nature too. So yeah, and they keep you accountable. So
that's good. Really good.
Man, that's good answer. So I would say, man, just have your foundation in Christ. And what I mean by that, know who you are in Christ. Know what He's calling you to do, like your purpose, your identity. Like, know what that is, because when you bring a woman into a situation, and you don't know who you are in Christ, you don't know where you're going, you don't have no plan, you're going to have a frustrated woman because she's there, biblically speaking, to be a helpmeet, but she don't know where she's going to help you at.
Yeah.
It's like, it's essentially like, if I say I'm going to drive to California, we get in the car, I don't got no GPS, I don't got no map, I don't got nothing, we just start driving. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have some frustrated people in the car. You know what I'm saying? So you want to have some direction. You want to have some identity. You want to know exactly who you are in Christ and where it is that you're trying to go. That way, just give the woman the opportunity to say, okay, like, I see what he's doing. I see what God is doing in his life. Like, do I want to be a part of this? It gives her a fair opportunity instead of just jumping into something where there's no kind of direction. I would say do that. And also do the work, man. Like, a lot of us guys in the culture that we in, we were raised wrong, man. We honest about it. Parents did the best they could, you know what I'm saying? But the culture, life, music, everything that influenced us, a lot of things we have wrong. So unpack that stuff, man, so you don't bring nobody into a toxic situation and damage somebody. Like, do the work on the front end.
It's real. And honestly, that's for women too. We, you know, we all have misconceptions and you know, have been influenced by the culture in some way or another that's against the word of God. That's why we have to renew our minds with it daily. So yeah, it's we all have to do the work.
Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Yes. And
What Men Want, part 2, DJ Jeremiah, Plain James, Ryan Righteous. Yes. Be sure to check them out at 12 o'clock on Track Stars. So coming soon, make sure you check them out. Tune in on YouTube. And don't forget to get your merch at becomingevatoday.com. Get your mugs, your shirts, your totes, all the things. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Yes.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X at Becoming Eva Today. And we'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Click subscribe on YouTube and subscribe to the podcast.
Check us out at becomingevatoday.com
or email us at evamail@becomingevatoday.com.
See you next time.